Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Joining me today is Lieutenant Colonel Angel Jackson. She is the Director of the Public Affairs and Communication Strategy Directorate here, and she oversees 11 strategic communication and visual information courses, the mobile training program, as well as the International Military Student Program. She's here today to talk about what happens on the officer side of the house, what today's military communications leaders are learning here, and how we're adapting to the changing information environment. Colonel Jackson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Always great to see you. Every time I see you around the building, you've got a big smile. It makes me feel positive. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to DINFOS.
Okay, so I've been in the military for 23 years, so this year will be 24 years for me. I started out enlisted as a multimedia illustrator in the Army, and then I also worked as a combat photographer. I commissioned in 2004 as an air defense officer, and so as an officer, I worked as an air defense officer, then an AG officer, and then I came back home to public affairs, and I participated in the Army's volunteering transfer incentive program and became a public affairs officer. And so I've been doing that since around 2011. My previous position prior to coming to DINFOS was at the TPACE, or the Theater Public Affairs Support Element. I was the commander of that organization, and that's out at Fort Bliss, Texas. And so when the assignment cycle came up and it was time to move, this is one of the positions that I requested, and I got it.
That's always great when it happens like that.
Yes.
That's awesome. So I know that you guys are in charge of 11 courses and a lot of different stuff happening on that side.
Yes.
Let's start by talking first about what I would consider to be the primary thing that you're known for over there, which is the PAX-Q course?
Yes, PAX-Q.
Awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about what that course is and how it works for people?
So the Public Affairs and Communication Strategy Qualification Course, or PAX-Q course, it's basically the MOS producing course for our officers in the Department of Defense. This course not only services our officers, but we do have DA civilians or DOD civilians, I'm sorry. And we also have some of our senior enlisted personnel that attend the course, too. We also have international students. They attend the course. And so what this course is basically entry-level training for the Department of Defense, other U.S. government agencies, and, like I said, some of our international students. And we go over a number of things. Right now we have about five of our five competencies. We have five competencies in the course, and those include things like military planning, communications planning, leadership, integrated communications. Like there's a couple of different things that we focus on in that particular course to prepare our students for service in the Department of Defense.
Awesome. Can you kind of break that down a little bit more and talk about maybe parts of the course in depth and sort of what they'll face here? If non-spoilers, what you can talk about.
Non-spoilers, yeah. You can actually find the training, a little bit of information of the training online, but I'll start with military planning. Military planning is one of, it's not just about planning from a public affairs perspective, but understanding each of the parts of the staff that you may be serving on. And so I'll talk about our exercise. The exercise that the students go through, we actually play roles for each of the different staff members so that our students know how to not only integrate with the rest of the staff, but plan with the rest of the staff. We teach them how to write public affairs guidance. We teach them how to write public affairs estimates, how to understand the different parts of an operations order, and to know what to do with that information in support of commanders' strategic goals.
So you mentioned that there are students from all kinds of different places in the military. Mm-hmm. There's enlisted, there's officers at different stages of their careers who come in, but also there's international students as well. So how do you guys tailor the instruction so that it's effective for all those different kinds of people?
We actually ensure that we have a couple of different learning styles and learning approaches for our students. One of the things we do, we have a lot of hands-on experience or practical exercises inside of the classroom. We do have lectures, but those lectures, in each lecture, there are activities that the students can actually apply in most of the classes. They can apply what they just learned. We have some types of integrated communication where some things are online where they can kind of learn on their own, and then they have group assignments where they learn with each other as well. The exercise that we do at the end of the course, where the students are allowed to take everything that they've learned and apply it in a two-week exercise, they actually do the things that they've been trained to do. They build communications plans. They're out on a deployment. They're embedded with an engineer unit, and we give them different scenarios on, you know, things that happen, like I think there's a flood there, you know, some civil unrest, things like that. And so they're actually able to apply what they learned, not just what they read and what they kind of did in an activity, but they determine what will they do if something happens. If there's you've been given an immediate crisis situation, well, now what are you going to do? And we kind of coach them through that. We also implemented this iteration on a lot more hands-on coaching with the students, because we want to make sure that they leave here with a level of understanding of what they're going to be expected to do once they leave the schoolhouse. And so we take a number of approaches to ensure our students can understand their role as public affairs officers, but also, you know, how do they use that in support of commanders' initiatives.
And you also mentioned that one of the things that you talk about is how to interact with their staff and how to get the most out of the people
Absolutely.
That work for them or work beneath them as well. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that and how that works for the officer folks who come through?
Absolutely. So I'll just give an example. One of the classes that we teach is resourcing, and how do you resource the things that you need? It's one thing to say, hey, you know, I need a couple of cameras, or maybe I need some more people, but who do you talk to actually get those things? What types of relationships are you building along the way to get the things that you need? One of the things that we always tell the students is the first time you speak to someone should never be when you need them. And so establishing those relationships early on, understanding who's who in the zoo, who does what, who can help you requisition your personnel, who can help you, you know, determine what equipment you're able to get for your organization and how you get that equipment. And so we teach them about what each of the staff members do, and then how to know what your role is with those staff members, with the intel personnel, with your S3 or your J3. How do you interact with them? What should that relationship look like? You will have some organizations that that sometimes they're not sure what the public affairs team does. They will look at that team as, oh, they just take photos or they just do video. And so we teach them how to come to the table, not, you know, wait to be invited at the table, but actually take your seat, because you play an absolute critical role in helping the commander achieve his or her initiatives based on what you bring to the table. So if you're waiting to be invited in, you're probably never going to be invited in. But understanding what your role is in connection to the rest of the staff, and how do you actually explain that, and how do you talk to them about what you need from them and what you can provide them in any staff section.
And I'm glad that you said that, because implementing those effective communication strategies at those leadership levels are, you know, the goal of an effective graduate from the PAXQ course, I think. Can you elaborate maybe a little bit more on what those effective communication strategies look like in an environment where they have a good seat at the table?
Yes. So one of the things that we try to teach our students is, if they're, say they're going into a new war kicks off, or there's a new operation that kicks off, and most of those, most operations are phased out. They're, you know, phase one, phase two, two alpha, whatever the case may be. We teach them, what is your role in every single phase of this operation? I think one of the most fun things I've ever had to do was do a tabletop exercise and walk through what my role was as the public affairs officer as we were maneuvering troops on a battlefield, as we were determining who is doing what? What is logistics doing? How are we getting communications? Like, where are people going to be? And then what are you doing from a public affairs perspective? How are you integrating with your PSYOP team, with your intel team? What are you actually doing at every phase of the operation? And saying, oh, we're going to be taking photos, that's an absolute no-go. Saying, I'm going to, we're just going to be standing by and, waiting on, someone to request us. That's not how you effectively show your boss how you can assist them on the battlefield. We actually are able to collect imagery and information that could help commanders make decisions, and we teach them how do you do that and why you do that and how you explain that to your boss and to the rest of the staff, why what you do matters to the overall success or failure of an organization.
I'm so glad that you put that as the most succinct and I think perfect explanation I've ever heard of what the anticipation for officers in our career field looks like out there in the real world. Because a lot of people who are listening to this probably, again, don't really have any idea what it is those people do. So to hear you put it in such an effective and succinct way is gratifying for me because again, not enough people know what is actually an effective communicator looks like in that space. So thank you for doing that. Can you talk a little bit more about how the course is adapting to the changing information environment? We talk a lot and have talked a lot on the show about misinformation and disinformation, about the fact of the creation and usage of AI, et cetera. So how are we adapting and changing to sort of grow with the environment as it adapts and change?
I can tell you one of the best things that I believe DenFos offers is the fact that we have individuals from the fleet in the field who rotate in and out of the schoolhouse, so we're able to keep that information fresh that we teach here at the schoolhouse. But between myself and a couple of the other officers who have come in from our last assignments, one of the things we looked at is what are some things that we are not doing in PAXQ, and how can we integrate those things into the course without changing our terminal learning objectives or what the services have asked us to do, but still keep the course fresh. So a few things that we've looked at, we recently, when the first year I was here, we implemented an AI policy, and not necessarily telling the students, hey, you can, take everything, throw it in AI and use it. We give them left and right limits in order to teach them, you need to learn how to write, you need to learn how to plan, you need to learn how to provide information to your boss and to the staff. But it's okay if you have, something look over, some form of AI that looks over your work to make sure it is readable. It is what you are meaning to say. And so we have some students that come in and they may struggle a little bit with writing. And so Microsoft Word or Google Forms or whatever, they will give you that little squiggly line that tells you, that's not spelled right, or maybe your subject and your verb didn't agree. So we have small things like that that assist our students with making sure that their information is correct, but at no point in time can they actually drop something into ChatGPT or a CamelGPT and say, hey, develop my communications plan for me. We automatically know that it's, that's something that wasn't developed by you. The DenFos has been directed to actually produce a course called the Digital Content Providence course. And so not necessarily in PAXQ, but our Visual Information Management course, they have been at the forefront of helping develop that course. We test that course on the students to see what we're missing, what's working, what isn't, before we deploy that across the Department of Defense. And so we are helping to understand what authenticity looks like in the visual information space. For our PAXQ students, we're making sure that they have the tools, they understand what tools are out there and why they work and why they don't work, what is okay to use and what isn't okay to use. I haven't seen a platform yet that could actually do the work that we're teaching these students to do. You're not going to find a platform that's going to take the information that they're being given, for example, in an exercise or a situation where it requires you to make a decision. And sometimes that decision is not based on, something that's been done before. This is something new, and you have to figure out how this issue or this crisis or this event needs to be handled. And you may be able to get an idea, but you need to know your leadership. You need to know your audience. You need to know who you're speaking to and how they like to be informed and why that information is important to them. And that AI is not going to be able to tell a commander that. It's not going to be able to tell that PAO that. So we teach them the difference in between the lazy work and the real work that we do.
So glad you put it that way, because there is no way to not utilize your critical thinking skills at any level of our career field.
Absolutely.
Whether it's at an enlisted level, a junior level, just coming through, or and someone who's going through the PAX Q course. There's no way. Thank you for that. Can you elaborate a little bit more on some of the other classes that you guys teach over there?
Oh, absolutely. So, wow, we have
a lot.
We have a lot. And so PAX Q is our MOS producing course, but we also have all of the advanced courses that DINFOS offers to our community. And so the Visual Information Management course is one of those courses where we teach people not only how to capture and sort through the information that they have, but proper archiving. Where does this information go? How can we go retrieve it later? How do you properly catalog that visual information that all of our troops are taking around the world every single day? It's a lot. So the VIM course, I wish, was just incorporated into every course here in the schoolhouse, but we run up against time. So that's a very important course. We have our intermediate motion media course and our intermediate photography course. And so those students who have had the basic course over on the department training side, they can come over to our IPC and our IMMC courses, and they could take advanced classes on things like After Effects, some of the Adobe software that we use, and understand how to develop higher quality content for their commanders. And one of the things we're really focused on now is not only how do you produce that high quality content, but how do you produce that content in support of commander's intent? So it's one thing to be able to go and shoot a great commercial or, you know, an amazing story, but can you do that in order to support your commander's intent and your commander's priorities? So we're heavily invested in that. We also have the Joint Contingency Public Affairs course. And basically that course is, once you've graduated the public affairs qualification, the public affairs and communication strategy qualification course, you can come back after you serve some time in the military and take this advanced course, take this this advanced planning course. How do you better integrate with much more of the staff? So it's just a higher level education than your PAX Q course. We also have the public affairs course for international students. That is a course that's strictly all international students. And it teaches them specifically how to be strong public affairs officers for their nations, but also how to work with U.S. counterparts as well. One of the things that we don't include in that course is a lot of DOD policy and ways of doing things, because they're not going to go back to their countries and, you know, be beholden to our DOD policies. But what they do need to know how to do is how to be a strong public affairs officer for their nation. And so we teach them that. And then when we have to work with these individual countries in the future, we're not, you know, starting from a basic level. We actually know how each other operates. We also have the intermediate public affairs specialist course. So after troops have graduated from the basic course and they want to know a little bit more about what their officers are doing and how they can better support their public affairs officers, that intermediate course teaches them a little bit more about planning. So they learn the research, planning, implementation, and evaluation process that we actually teach our students in PAX Q. It's a small element, but it's huge in getting them to understand the why behind every single thing that we do. And that's probably one of our most requested courses to actually deploy as part of our mobile training team. And the digital media course. The digital media course is another course that is, we recently acquired that course on our side of the house from the DOT side, simply because it is an advanced course and we wanted to keep all of the advanced courses on the PAXD side of the house. And so that course is actually a one that's most requested as well. So people are looking to do more with digital media, wanting to, you know, create better content. And so that course, we have that course on that side of the house too.
You mentioned so many things that are great there about what we do here, which is amazingly informative. I want to talk just for a second about the international students because, you know, they're great. We see, I have seen so many different nations represented in our international students here already. And you mentioned the great sort of cause and effect that happens when we bring them here. What kind of unique perspectives do they offer and how do they make the course special when they're here?
I will tell you, the a lot of our international students, they come with a set of issues that a lot of our students have never dealt with and they wouldn't understand. We have about 7 courses that our international students can attend, but the PACIS course is strictly for those students. They have to develop a communications plan, just like our students in PAXQ do. If you look at the communications plans for our PACIS students, when I tell you the problems that they're trying to solve, I'll give you an example. We had a student from Zambia who developed a communications plan to try to get their population to know the difference between someone who was trying to recruit them to come into the Zambian army and someone who was going to drop them off in the middle of the field. That was a huge issue in their country. And so the communications plan that she put together was to actually get after getting their population to understand the difference between when you have a legitimate, you know, recruiter asking you to join the military and someone who's just taking your money. And so these students come with a set of issues that we're not used to necessarily, because we don't have that issue. We have an all volunteer force and nobody, you know, pays to come into the military. I mean, Zambia doesn't either, but people know you don't pay to come into the military. We recruit. These students come with a lot of them speak several different languages, and they have perspectives that that come from a more worldly view sometimes. And so what they bring to the table and showing us how we integrate and how we work with other nations, I think, is invaluable to not just us as instructors, but also to our students who have the opportunity to interact with them.
Oh, 100%. What skills do you think are going to be most important for these future military communications leaders to develop? And how do our courses best serve them to develop those skills?
I will tell you, I think the first and foremost, the best skill that any military troop can have is to be a leader and a warrior first. That's number one. One of the critical competencies that we just incorporated into PAXQ is leadership. And to make sure that our students understand that they are leaders first, they're warriors first. And so one of the things I learned early on in my career as Specialist Jackson, capturing imagery with a military police unit, it was a live fire exercise, and I almost got out in front of the unit. And this sergeant major grabbed me by my collar. I was in BDUs at the time. He grabbed me and snatched me and said, "You will not become a liability out here on this range." And that has stuck with me my entire career. I never want anybody to be a liability. If you're not a good leader, you're a liability. If you're not a good warrior, you're not a good troop, you're a liability. And so that's the first thing that our troops need to understand, officers enlisted across the board. And then they need to be able to be good communicators, which is why we structure the course the way we do. I will tell you 100% of the PAXQ students probably don't know what they're getting themselves into when they attend this course. Some of them think that we do what our enlisted troops do. Our students don't pick up a camera. They don't. A lot of them know how to shoot. They know how to, you know, capture video and photography. And it may be necessary at some point, but that's not what we're teaching them. We're teaching them how to be strategic communicators. We have a ton of people on the other side of the schoolhouse who's going to do the shooting for us. You may need to pick up a camera every now and then, but they need to know how to be strategic communicators. They need to know how to effectively help their commanders win our nation's battles and wars. And that's the bottom line from a communication standpoint. And if you're not bringing that to the table, what good are you? We need to make sure our troops know how to not only, show the American people what we are doing, how we are doing that, that's where we come in, but also, you know, integrate ourselves into a staff that can help commanders make decisions that win wars. So those are the tools that we give our students in order to be, you know, effective, in order to be to earn that seat at the table when they walk into an organization.
Absolutely, 100%. You've talked about so many valuable things as it pertains to the course, and I know that some of the folks listening to this are prospective students. So what advice would you give prospective students that are considering the PAXQ course, and how can they best be prepared to succeed before they come? Oh, and also, before you start on that question, just for the record, how long is the PAXQ course?
It's 45 days.
There we go, Prad, because I knew we had forgotten to mention that. So anyway, what advice would you give to those prospective students, and how can they best be prepared?
Number one, have an open mind. Prepare yourself to be patient. This is graduate level work that they're working on. And so when they get here, they need to bring their A game, because we some students feel like it moves a little fast. We have a lot of that these services have asked us to do. And so we get that in 45 days. So pack your patience. And talk to a public affairs officer, someone who is actively practicing, and so they can give you a little insight into what it is that we do. We have our the Army, most of our individuals, they come in at the captain and major level. And some of our other services, they come in, you know, at the lieutenant level. And so a lot of the Army individuals come in and they have a little bit more knowledge about how the Army works, about how the military works. Sometimes that's a hang-up, because their idea of what their public affairs person does is not necessarily what their public affairs public affairs team does. What they see is the end product a lot of the times. They see images, and they see video, and they see, you know, sometimes they're not in the room when those public affairs officers are speaking with those commanders about plans, you know, going forward, or how they're going to do this or that, or, you know, they're not in those conversations. And so their understanding of what public affairs officers do, even if they haven't been in the military, it's one-sided sometimes, because they see the end product. They don't see the sausage making. They need to come prepared to make sausage and understand what that looks like and why it's important. We do have service unique days as well, where we stand down and the services take their individuals and they speak from a Marine perspective or an Air Force perspective. They talk about policies strictly for those individual services. So we don't just give them death by PowerPoint or lectures. We give them an experience. Our students, we started going to Voice of America. Every iteration, we've started to send our students down there to talk with our journalists that are reporting around the world. They go to the Pentagon, and once they're at the Pentagon, they're able to speak with the leadership for each of their services, for the each of their Marine Corps, Army, Navy, and the Air Force. They speak with public affairs leaders and who's working at the Pentagon, what they do, how they can help, things like that. We bring guests into the building to also speak to our students, our proponents for each of the services. And so we try to give the students an experience while they're here. They're not just in the classroom. They're not just in, here at Fort Meade. We try to give them insight into what's happening. We'll bring people in from out in the fleet and field. We've had leaders in Italy and Iraq and, DVIDS in Atlanta, the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution System out in Atlanta. We have different people that come in and talk to them about what to expect, how they can be helpful to them. And so that's one of the things they should expect when they come to the course, is to get an experience, not just education.
What a great way to put it. And like everything else that we do here, it's nice to hear you mention that there's so many real world experiences that are integrated into the course, because that's all that happens on the MCF side as well. You know, everything is just designed to make sure the students are prepared to walk out the door and do their jobs to the best of their ability. That's fantastic. You know, we've talked about so many things. I know that you guys integrate feedback into your courses the same way we do with end of course surveys and that kind of thing. And that changes and causes your course to adapt over time. Is there any other ways that you guys utilize feedback or get feedback from your students that help you with the courses?
Absolutely. So end of course feedback, as you stated, I read each and every one of those. But we also take a look at what's happening in the fleet and field. We talk to those leaders who are out in the fleet and field to determine what is it that you wish this individual would have gotten prior to leaving the schoolhouse. I told you I came from the 24 Theater Public Affairs Support Element. I was the commander out there prior to getting here at DENFOS. One of the things that I noticed that my officers and some of my troops, they did not know how to use DIVIS. They didn't know how to use it. And DIVIS is our system of record. DIVIS is required of us to use. And so when I had to stand down and do training on DIVIS, and myself and the sergeant major, we taught them how to use DIVIS. And so one of my goals here was to make sure our officers, before they leave this schoolhouse, that they know how to use DIVIS. Yesterday, the course that I wrote on DIVIS, I worked with DIVIS to develop a lesson plan and a course on DIVIS. Yesterday, we taught that course. We taught that course to all of our students in PACSQ, and it will be a course going forward. They are required to understand what right looks like when they have to put information in the system. Great. We taught them how to upload the content, how to review the content, how the platform works. Everybody has a vision ID, which they're going to have working out in the fleet and field. So that's another way that we determine what adjustments need to be made. I said earlier, one of the plus sides to DENFOS is that we have people out in the fleet and field who rotate in to the classroom. And so those of us who are rotating in, I meet with my officers on a routine basis, and we go, okay, what are we missing? What is something that, you know, have you been talking to your service, and what is something that they're asking for? And so that's how we make adjustments. We don't just, you know, go with the status quo of what we've been doing iteration after iteration after iteration. We actually make changes based on what students are asking for and what they say, and based on what our officers are getting out in the fleet and field. I think one of the big things is the fact that, you know, our students are able to tell us, you know, this moved way too fast and I still don't understand this. I got a good grade, but I don't understand it. That's how we implemented more coaching. We didn't just implement more coaching. We developed a kind of like a rubric for instructors on how to coach their students. And so, you know, you may not be able to get through to a student, but we developed a rubric to help you get there, because not everybody knows how to get someone over the finish line. And I will tell you, this iteration, our students' grades are so much better. We were high-fiving yesterday because we're seeing higher grades on comm plans, higher grades, you know, on some of the products that our students would, you know, routinely get lower grades on. So I'm excited.
You might have to send me that rubric.
I got you.
This has been great. One last question before I let you go. I know that prospective students and students who come in love to hear about success stories. So can you share any great success stories that you remember very fondly, or any kind of like real world applications of the skills that we teach here and, you know, that would kind of feel good about, make you feel good about what it is that you do here?
I will give just a little bit of feedback about how our students reach back. Our students often reach back. My first 2 months that I was here, or first two, probably about 6 months that I was here, I did two iterations of teaching. And one of the students, I've had two students reach back, but one of the students who was out, and he was in the National Guard out in Florida, and when the hurricanes hit, he had to come up with a plan for his unit. And after it was over, he sent me a message, and he said, "Ma'am, thank you so much. Number one, he wanted to quit because he felt like it was a lot. I said, we don't do that in this uniform, and I'm going to get you there. And so not only did he not quit, he did great. He did, you know, great while he was here. But he also walked away with some tools that he could use, and he used them almost immediately when he got back to Florida to his home unit. And so he reached back and he thanked me for not only not letting him quit, but making sure that he had the tools that he needed to be successful. And a lot of our instructors, they get that. They have formed a lot of lifelong relationships with people, and those relationships started right here at DENFOS. And I can tell you from a personal perspective, myself as a public affairs officer, when I left here at DENFOS, my first assignment was Fort Hood, Texas. And at Fort Hood, I walked into a unit who was recently redeploying, and there was a lot going on. What I walked away with personally were a lot of tools on press releases, how to engage my commander, how to show what this unit is doing. Now, we've redeployed, and, you know, units take a minute to kind of stand down, but we were still preparing for our next battle. And so I had a lot of tools in my kit bag to not only show my commander, you know, what we bring to the table, and that tabletop exercise I was telling you about. I'm out at NTC walking through phases of an operation. I learned a lot of that here at DENFOS. I learned a lot of it as an air defense officer too. But I learned from a communication perspective, how do I take the seat at the table that I'm supposed to have and ensure I can give my commander what he needs from a public affairs perspective. And so from a personal perspective, I have taken everything that I've learned and been able to implement it in the field. And so, and we see that in our students as well. So
thank you so much for this fascinating conversation. You know, it's great to learn more about the public affairs side of the building and what you guys do, as well as, again, I think it's really important to talk more about what we expect from our leaders, what our leaders should be doing, what effective communication looks like. And I think we talked a lot about that today. So, Colonel Jackson, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
I would love to have you in again when you guys have some more exciting stuff going on. We could talk about it then.
Just let me know. I'll be here.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.